I'm Julie Bullitt. I've been a family therapist for over 30 years.
I'm David Bullitt. I've been a divorce and family lawyer for more than 35 years.
Together, we have been married for more than 37 years.
In our professional practices, the two of us have been witnesses to individuals and families struggling with life's most difficult challenges. In this podcast, we will talk about the conversations we have had,
the conversations we should have had,
and those that every relationship needs to have in order to find success, happiness, and fulfillment.
This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. Welcome back, Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
We're here today with Casey and Megan Kasten. They've been married for 21 years. Faced with difficult challenges early in their marriage, they quickly found themselves on the brink of visiting someone who does the kind of work that I do, which, as if you folks are listening for the first time, is a divorce lawyer. But they were determined to turn things around. They're frustrated a bit by ineffective and costly traditional therapeutic approaches. The Kastens created practical tools and resources to help couples strengthen their marriages. This inspired the launch of Marriage 365, the app. It offers affordable and convenient support for relationships that, as of today, has helped over 100,000 couples. The Kastens have authored 5 books, lead global marriage retreats, and offer one of the top premarital courses in the United States. Sadly for us who are on the East Coast, they're coming to us from the West Coast, sunny Southern California. Welcome, Megan and Casey. How are you today?
Oh, we're so good. Glad to be with you guys.
Oh, we're so happy to have you. We really are. And as Julie mentioned a few minutes ago before we got on, you know, we see a lot of similarities in what we do and what you do, maybe from different angles and so forth. So I'm anxious to dig into that. But first, I want to talk a little bit about what Casey told us when we first met. And that was the difficulties that you had out of the blocks when you were together 21 or so years ago. So talk to us, if you would, about what that was, if you don't mind, and how close you came to that sort of divorce precipice.
Yeah, so when Megan and I met, and during those dating years, it was so much fun. Like, we had a blast. I remember walks along the beach. I remember sitting on our moped till the sun came out, talking all night long. And I was like, this is fantastic. She's hot. I'm very attracted to her. She's a great conversationalist. She's very confident. I love that strength that I found in her. And honestly, I thought, gosh, if we got married, we would just be doing this like forever. And then we got married. And it was so, it was like a shot from behind. What do you call it? Like a cold
or a bait and switch?
Well, it was like I got sucker. No, I got sucker punched because what I did not know was I never had an angry outburst, never ever yelled at anybody. And then as soon as I got married, I became extremely upset with Megan because what I had done was all the expectations of you're going to make me happy. You're going to make everything great. Like, the dating experience is going to be exactly what we live into. But once we got married, it changes. The dynamic changes. You have to work together as a team. I had no tools. I had no examples. I had no, like, even mentors to show me what was the transition from dating to marriage. And the fact is that between both sets of our parents, there's 12 marriages. So mom's been married 6 times.
My dad's been married 3 times.
So David, I don't know if you have punch cards, but because she should probably get the 7th one free.
Frequent flyer miles.
Yeah. Frequent flyer.
So all we had known was divorce, walking away, mental illness, affairs. And so all of that came rushing in once we started to try to work as a team. Because dating is just the fun stuff.
Yeah.
But then when it's the work of how do we make this life to get work together? Man, we were more different than we were alike.
Yeah. So it was the third year of our marriage where I remember not only did I fall out of love with Casey, but I was thinking I made the biggest mistake of my entire life. Wow. I had deep-seated resentment towards this man. Mm-hmm. I could not see any positives he was doing, even though he was doing positive things. Mm-hmm. They mm-hmm. weren't there for me. And yeah. so I started researching divorce attorneys. And mm-hmm. my best friend at the time basically said, hey, this is a huge decision to make. You need mm-hmm. to go talk to somebody. So I went to a therapist. And the therapist was phenomenal. I love her dearly. She changed my life. And she let me talk bad about Casey for the whole session. And I said, how it's all his fault yes. and, you know, whatever. And finally she goes, okay, you done? I said, yep. And she goes, and then she said, what now I live my life by, and it changed my entire perspective of marriage, is if you want to make a better marriage, it starts by making a better you. And your husband's not here on the couch to tell his side or share his perspective. So I don't even know where he's at. But I can imagine that if you're lonely, he's lonely mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. And you're here and you're willing and you're wanting. And I can teach you how to be the healthiest version of yourself. And wow. that really inspired me. Yes. And that's what I started doing. I started working yes. on myself for 13 months and I did a complete 180 in hopes that, of course, I would positively influence him and model mm-hmm. that healthy behavior.
Yeah.
But even no matter what was going to happen in our marriage, divorce or not, mm-hmm. I knew that I wasn't living out my vows. I knew I had my own baggage that I brought into our marriage. Wouldn't yes. have mattered if I married David or Casey, right? Like, I had my own junk and stuff that I had to work
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it was absolutely. Empowering. It was freeing. Yeah. And yeah. I think that's why I was able to do a 180.
Well, that's really, you know, very cool. As a therapist, of course, I love the story of, you know, using therapy. And I do think that sometimes people, well, lots of times people come to marriages, relationships, thinking that the other person is going to fill them up. And the reality is you find out very quickly that that's not the case. In fact, what happens is the light is shined at those pieces of you that aren't whole, even more magnified. So I love that. And we talk a lot about in our work together, self-care first. You have to, you know, do self-care. And then we talk about couples care, sort of coming second. But it's, yeah. so, that's great to hear. So I'm just curious, so you went to therapy, Megan, and what were some of the things that were going on between the two of you that we would sort of call like red flags, there's problems. Like, was
all of them?
Yeah. just give us an yeah. idea, because I think some yeah. people are out there sort of probably not feeling great about their relationship, but probably sweeping a few things mm-hmm. under the rug. Oh, so, yeah. what okay. are the what are some common things that you guys dealt with that maybe people should pay more attention to?
Okay, so we were both right fighters. So we went into every conversation, I'm right, you're wrong. And I'm going to prove to you and convince you that you're wrong and that I'm right and my way is the better way. So yes. both of us came into every conversation about anything pretty much with that mindset.
We would blame wow. and we would shame each other mm-hmm. okay. in the midst of fighting. We would totally tear each other mm-hmm. down on a character-wise yeah. or really and blame shift. Like, well, it wasn't me. I'm only mm-hmm. acting and responding because of you.
Because of you. We yeah. were also very blame is a form of defense, but we were just very defensive people. So rarely were we ever, you know what, gosh, I could have worked on that. Yeah, yeah. I probably didn't approach that the right way. There were no apologies. If there were apologies, it was an apology that was kind of half-assed with an excuse. Yeah. So yeah. it was, you know, I'm really sorry for doing this, but I just had a long day at work.
We yeah. used mm-hmm. really, we were very vocal, like yelling, screaming matches, passing at each other. Yeah. I think that we interrupted each other all the time because we're very competitive people in all areas yeah. of life. When Megan and I, you know, even today, we play cornhole. If she like makes it into the hole, she'll be like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
She'll like put it in my face. I'm like, okay, we're just playing a friendly game.
Here. I'm in it to win it. Hence the right fighting. Like, I'm right, yes. I'm wrong. Right.
Yeah. yeah. And that's how we took it to, like, if we were in our relationship, we were very competitive about that.
The other thing is
we're very stubborn too.
Yeah. We are both very stubborn people. Both leaders, very opinionated. But this is a huge thing, is that when we were dating, I think the divorces and the affairs our parents experienced, mm-hmm. they call it trauma bonding. It yeah. actually kind of in an odd way, right, brought us together. And we were like, right. oh, it was horrible. Well, we don't want to do that.
Right. And we'll but know then, better.
Yes. Yeah. Like, we should know better. And then when we got married and we didn't have the skill sets, the knowledge, we hadn't processed mm-hmm. things, it was actually that trauma and the lack of boundaries with our family.
Mm.
Ooh, I mean, if there is one area that I would say we are actual experts on, it is in-laws and family, because we did everything wrong. There was one Christmas, you guys, where we went to four different homes one Christmas and I was pregnant.
Wow.
And that's just chaos.
Too much.
And of course, we weren't having a great Christmas. We weren't mm-hmm. having sex. We were stressed out. We didn't mm-hmm. even have a lot of money. So then here we are spending all this money on gas and presents. Mm-hmm. And so we also, another big area was family. Mm-hmm. Boundaries with family were non-existent. Sorry, babe, I love you, but mainly on you. I mean, no, you had normalized that your mom had been married four times.
I had. In fact, there's a funny story. Megan and I are dating. We go to my mom's house and we're going to have dinner with her and her fourth husband and the two kids he's had from a previous marriage. There's a knock at the door. It's her third husband and the kid that they had together, which would be my half brother. And the fourth husband's like, hey, come on in. And we all sit at the table. And so there's me from her first marriage, her third husband, the kid that they had together, her fourth husband, the two kids he's had, and Megan, who's sitting there grabbing my leg like, this is the loony bin.
Yeah.
But it's straight out of a sitcom.
Yeah.
But if you've had that many different family lives and marriages mm-hmm. and dads and stepkids,
yeah.
that I actually normalized all of that. That was really the only way I knew how to deal with it.
Yeah. And then I would say we could, again, go on and on and on. He's a spender. I'm a saver. So we racked up a lot of debt. But I would say another one of the biggest things that was really difficult was the fight and flight cycle. So I'm a fighter and I would mm-hmm. fight the wrong and unhealthy way, but with the hopes of hoping to get over it. And mm-hmm. he would avoid, he's mm-hmm. the ultimate optimist. And so he'd be like, no, we're good. I'm like, no, we're literally like dying here. And he's like, no, we're fine. Yeah. And that mm-hmm. cycle right there, we never ever really got to any issue. And all I wanted to do as a fixer, because I'm the fixer in the marriage, is I just mm-hmm. wanted to fix it and move on. But we never got to because of the avoiding.
And another thing too, is we were part of a faith community that was really unhealthy mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. if you were to raise your hand and say, I needed some help, there was kind mm-hmm. of a bit of an air judgment. Of shame and judgment and criticism.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of kept us in hiding.
Mm-hmm.
And then also,
we could just keep going for four more hours.
Plus we live in Orange County where there's a 72% mm-hmm. divorce rate, one of the highest in the nation.
Yeah.
So
there's
kind of this like this idea that like Megan and I were really the least likely to succeed in marriage because we had so many things going against us.
So at some point you're in therapy for 13 months, you're working for 13 months, you're trying to adapt, adjust your behaviors. Casey is there. At some point you take a step in a real step, an affirmative step in a different direction toward staying together, toward being together and growing together. So tell me a little bit about how that happened. And then I want to move on a bit and talk about what you guys are doing now.
Yeah. So, Megan, I'm so proud of her and the boundaries that she sets for herself. You know, boundaries, as she says, is not about other people. It's about what you will tolerate in your life, because boundaries are centered in this idea that there's worth here, worth mm-hmm. protecting and prioritizing, right? Self-care. And I remember one time I was so upset with Megan. I came in the room, I'm stomping in the room. My face is all red. I'm ready to unleash hell on her. And she, just as cool as a cucumber, she saw that and she was not going to allow that to happen in our relationship. And she just said, you know what? I can tell you're very upset. I would love mm-hmm. for you to take a walk outside, come back inside. I'll be sitting here on the couch. I want to hear what you have to say to me, but we're going to communicate in this relationship in a healthy way.
Mm.
And my jaw hit the floor. I was like, what?
Yeah. Megan, you diffused the situation and you set a boundary around how this was going to proceed. And I think that that's amazing because so many times couples, if one is angry, the other comes with more anger and it's just like a volcano.
Yeah. That was the old Megan, as I would do that. I would fight back. And so I did that over and over again, to clarify, it wasn't one time, right?
Yeah.
It was.
Oh, really? It wasn't just overnight that you developed that skill?
It was not overnight. Darn. I did it multiple times for multiple months. Yeah. And eventually, I do believe that Casey saw that at that point, before I went to therapy, we were both toxic. We were both unhealthy. We were both hurting, but, you know, hurt people hurt people. I wasn't hurting anymore. I had forgiven him. I had forgiven myself. I just showed up differently. And so he noticed the change. Yeah. And I think, I mean, you could speak more to that, but that's really what turned our marriage around. Was he's like, it's obvious that I'm the unhealthy one now. And I can't blame Megan because she's not showing up unhealthy anymore.
And then my competitive nature was coming out. I'm like, well, I'm going to out-health you.
No, it's true. It's true.
I'm not going to be the unhealthy one.
So Megan, I want to just go back to what you just said, which is unhealthy people hurt unhealthy people. And the other piece to that is we are hurt by people, but we are healed by people. And most of the time, it's not the same people that hurt us. And that is what you and Casey were able to do in this relationship. You got healthy enough yourselves to come together and start to heal some of those bonds that some of those traumas that you had early on, both of you. So that's really cool. And
I want to just clarify, it took us 3 years to destroy our marriage. It took 13 months, which felt, by the way, like 13 years at times, for me to really heal. But then it did take us about 4 to 5 years to reheal and repair our marriage. It is not overnight. I know we joke about it, but really it was worth all of the blood, sweat, and tears. And honestly, after we healed, like overall, I mean, we get in arguments and tiffs like everybody else, but now it's really fantastic and great overall.
And I think that was the humbling. It's not lost on us, and it's very humbling still for people to consider us like, hey, will you teach us or will you lead us in marriage? Because it's like, I mean, the arguments still bounce off the walls. If the the walls could talk and they could tell the story of how Casey and Megan, when we were first married, you know, those are very, that's still a fresh memory for us. And I think when we walk into, you know, creating content, you know, we think of poor old Casey and Megan, who were completely ignorant,
prideful, insecure,
and needing tools. I think that's what we step into their world and go, what could have helped them out? Because we know this.
And that comes across, Casey, you know, that comes across in the stuff that you put up. And I want to talk about Marriage 365 in a minute. But before we get to that, as part of that, a lot of what you guys talk about openly, which we really appreciate, is intimacy and romance in a relationship. And you recently put a post up that was a little bit striking to me. And so I wrote it down so I wouldn't misquote the numbers. I'm a statistic. I love statistics. They don't turn me on, but sort of.
It's like
if she sees a guy with a tool belt on, you know,
it's a, I like that.
So anyway, but in the post you mentioned that for Christmas gifts, couples Christmas gifts, I added the other categories up. It was over 2/3 of couples that give each other clothes, perfume, and gift cards. And yet only 8% of the gifts that partners give to each other in a relationship is romantically based, which I find to be hard to believe, A, and really, really sad, B. So tell us a little bit about how you guys, in your program, we're going to talk about that, how you try to bring out a topic that is, we both have talked about this, is very difficult for people to talk about with others.
Yeah. And part of that survey we did is, you know, we want to put out content just like you guys that are actually going to help people, not just because we want to do it or we think it's an interesting topic. Like, let's help the people in the areas that they're struggling with. And we were really interested in, you know, gosh, like we know we invest in our marriage and we know how important that is. But obviously with the state of marriage nowadays, people aren't investing in it until there are problems.
Correct.
You guys both know this in your line of work.
Yes, they come to our offices.
And it's, to me, it's like if our children were failing math, we would get them a tutor. If our car is making a weird sound, we would go to a mechanic. Why is it that when we are struggling or stuck in our relationships, we do not raise our hand and get help? And so that survey we did is very telling of, I believe, and validates why so many couples are so lonely and mm-hmm. stuck, because if only 8% are going to invest and go, you know what, I want to get my spouse something really romantic. And I'm talking even like a love letter, like not even something you have yeah. to spend money on. Right. Mm-hmm. That just makes me sad. So yeah, I think that we really at Marriage 365 are helping a large majority of people who are very stuck, whether they're stuck in multiple areas mm-hmm. or in one area, but the pain is so severe that then they go, oh, maybe I should wake up and do something about this. You know,
talk to us about Marriage 365. I mean, it's a program. It's not just you're not just an Instagram page. You provide folks with a palette of things that they can use for supports.
Yeah. So, when I think about the community that we've created at Marriage 365, I am going back to that level of shame that people have that you were just referencing, Megan, mm-hmm. that keeps them hiding. What mm-hmm. we've recognized is, you know, for Megan and I, when we're doing storytelling and we're doing teaching, we go first in terms of yeah. we share our stories of struggle, our stories of pain, mm-hmm. because we recognize that as we kind of turn on the light, so to speak, mm-hmm. shame evaporates, because then somebody can say, oh, well, at least I'm not as bad as Casey.
Yeah.
And hey, you know what? I don't mind saying yeah. that. Like, I don't mind being that person that says,
yep.
I was the worst at being a husband. Mm-hmm. If that makes someone feel safe to mm-hmm. say, okay, well, what else do you have to say? Or I can see myself in your story. Because I think that that's the power of storytelling is, mm-hmm. we're not willing to, and you would know this, Julie, we're not able to enter sometimes into our own story. We're like right. blocking that.
Right.
Then we hear somebody else's story and it yeah. creates kind of an on-ramp for us to enter. And I get, oh, I see the similarities yeah. Yeah. in their struggles, or I see yep. myself and Megan or Casey mm-hmm. in the yeah. way that they approach life. And that to me is what I'm most excited about, is that we could be a cultural change agent mm-hmm. for people to say, it's okay to get tools and resources for your marriage. We don't have to run off assumptions. We don't have to be stuck.
Okay. Then yeah. the second part to what we do at Marriage 365, this is coming to all the fixers out there who loved, I'm like problem solve,
okay,
fixing,
yes.
is then we create tools. Mm-hmm. Because when I was in the therapist's office, I'm like, I know I need to forgive. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to. And she actually taught me all these different techniques and processes yeah. to go through. And I thought, well, no one should go through life thinking, oh, I'm stuck in unforgiveness. There's actually tools out there that can help people. So
yeah.
we have, and Casey and I wake up every day and we go, okay, wait, someone's struggling with validating their spouse. What could we create? Mm-hmm.
That happened mm-hmm. in our relationship.
Yep.
Yeah.
I didn't feel validated. Casey's like, what if we came up with a tool that we could mm-hmm. use, that any mm-hmm. couple could use? And that's what we do every day. We wake up and we think of worksheets, videos, tools, steps, anything that would actually be able to teach someone how to overcome the resentment, how to talk yeah. about the in-laws and keep defenses down,
yeah.
right? Because there are so many tools and techniques out there. People mm-hmm. just don't know.
Yeah. No, 100%. And I love all those things that you're talking about. And the work that we do also is very much tool oriented. Mm. People love need that. Tools. And as a therapist, when people come in my office, they usually leave with homework. And
love that.
Yeah, because you have to practice whatever it is that you're working on. You have to practice it. It doesn't come, you know, come overnight or by doing it one time. And one of the things, well, there's so many things that you've said that really are striking. You know, the things that David and I talk about. But there's a quote from President Kennedy.
President Kennedy,
yeah,
which was the time to fix the roof is when the sun is shining, which is what I thought about as you were talking.
Yeah.
And most of us are reactors, right? We don't handle
yep.
things peremptorily or proactively, and we react. And oftentimes, and I was listening to Casey a few minutes ago, oftentimes mm-hmm. those reactions are in the moment and they're not positive reactions
yeah.
or not, and they don't come across in the way that you want them to. So in Marriage 365, You've got courses, and there's one particular that caught my attention. I want to ask you about in a second. But you, and I know you have books, and you have a new book that's coming out. We're going to talk about in a moment as well. But so let me ask you about this one class, because we talk a lot about this, and that one you call let me find it. Happily Ever After premarital, your premarital course for folks who are, have not yet gotten married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what we found was interesting, you know, we just really started doing this together in the last couple of years. But what we, you know, we thought, oh, our audience is going to be, you know, people in their 40s, 50s and 60s. And what turned out was that we have been in contact and spoken with and worked with folks. A lot of people haven't yet gotten married.
Mm.
And so I'm interested to hear from you about, you know, without giving everything away, obviously, you know, but what do you do to help folks, you know, who are getting married in 6 months or 9 months or a year when they, and they're doing the right thing. They're thinking about what it's going to look like. We didn't do it. You guys clearly didn't do it. You just, you got married and she looks
great.
She looks great in a bikini and that was good enough for me. Right. You know, so what do you do? You know, how do you work with those types of folks?
Well, first I want to affirm that if someone's listening and they are dating, or even if they're single and they desire to have a happy relationship or they're engaged, kudos to you. I mean, that's, I do think you've already are way up above all of us who didn't do that.
Yes. If you're listening, if you're not married yet and you're listening to a divorce attorney talk about marriage, you are doing the right thing, actually.
You're trying to fix that roof in the sun.
I mean, so actually, funny enough, our premarital course was one of the first things that we created at Marriage 365 because we were thinking about there's so many couples that are struggling, but if they actually had set the right expectations, not what Casey and Megan did, going into marriage, then there wouldn't be – it's almost like a preventative thing to hurting couples. And in that course, we focused on what are the essential strategies and tools needed to sustain yourself with the rigors of marriage. What does it look like, you know, as you, we kind of joke, but marriage is about becoming one. And I think the first couple of years is trying to figure out which one, me or her. And how do you blend together and work as a team? Opposites do attract, and that's what brings you together as a couple.
Yep.
But then when you're trying to work on a budget or, you know, what are our schedules and the roles and responsibilities, you know, opposites really start to attack, if anything.
Yeah.
Like one of the quick tools we teach in that course is called the weekly marriage business meeting. And this is one of those things we also have in our other resources, but it's, you know, a once a week meeting. It's not sexy. It's not supposed to be. It's about all the logistics. So talking about getting right with those expectations of the week coming up, being aligned, working together, talking about schedules, budgets, meal plans, all of that. Mm-hmm. If couples just did that tool, like half their fights would go away. And so it's learning these life skills that the happiest and healthiest couples do these things, start implementing them now, make them part of your routine, have them be proactive. Then hopefully you'll know how to navigate when conflict happens.
Yeah. Plus, I think if you're going to take the time to actually go through a premarital education, that says a lot about your partner that's willing to learn. Because I mean, isn't that the joy of life, is that by the time that we get into our 80s and 90s, we're full of wisdom and knowledge because we've soaked up all that life has given to us. And sadly, we see a lot of couples on autopilot once they get married. And that's where the lack of intentionality gets them in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's where I was going with you next. So now we get to the relationship, the couples that have been together for a while, and I have a bookmarked, patented, and copyright this phrase. So if you use it, you got to credit me. It's sort of a malaise creep, you know. And so people often ask me, and I've been doing divorce work for 38 years. You know, what's the most common reason people get divorced? You know, it's cheating or financial problems, couldn't parent together, whatever it may be. And the reality is that the large majority of the folks that have come to me are not really angry. They don't really hate their partners. They don't really dislike them. They just don't really care to be around them anymore because after year, and you have kids, you know, we're busy. We're going places. We got to get them here, get them there. We got to make sure this gets bought, this gets fed, this one gets done, and so forth. And you sort of lose track right? Of the person who's sitting across the table. So, and you actually, and there you are, you know, I did my homework because you did another post right along those lines recently where you talked about recognizing when we go from lovers to roommates, I think is what you called it. And that's kind of what it is. And it's sad.
Yeah. It's when cruise control takes you down a different road.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. We say like, you can't pause your marriage while you're parenting your kids. Like there is no pause. Cause if you're pausing it, you're losing it. And there's two reasons why people slowly fall out of love. They stopped getting curious about one another and about themselves. Mm-hmm. And they stopped being intentional. Mm-hmm. Whether they were aware of it or not. And I want to give people the benefit of the doubt that most couples don't even know that they're not doing those two things. But if you think about when we were dating, we were so curious and we asked these really good questions and tell me about your family and, you know, what's your major and what do you want to do? And do you like to travel? And we somewhat for some reason stop asking those kinds of questions when we get married and kind of fall into the mundane routines. Mm-hmm. The other thing we stop doing naturally, I think for most people, is we stop being intentional. We made date nights, every single one of us that are married, we made date nights a priority and were intentional when we were dating. Because if you didn't do that, David would have never gone on a second date with you, a third date with you, right? Like if he wasn't intentional, he'd been like, this is like, he's not into me. Like this is a turnoff. No, we were both intentional. There was intentionality with the proposal and buying the ring. Like there was a plan. Mm-hmm. And I think that, again, we went into, it's no judgment. Because we did it. We fell into it too, that we believe that love is enough and what's true. And now science and the Gottmans and everybody else has backed this up is that it is the couples who are curious and intentional that continue to do that are the ones that make it.
Yeah. And I'll add a third component as a therapist, if you will, sort of like the things that happen is the ability and desire to perspective take with each other.
Well, and that kind of falls, under the get curious. Like, I want to know your perspective and I want to try to understand it as best I can,
right? Taking.
Yeah, perspective.
Yeah, perspective taking is huge.
Go back to what David was talking about. What did he call it? The
malaise creep?
The malaise creep. Okay. Have you heard of the nautical rule? It's called 1 in 60.
No.
It's for every 1 degree off and every 60 miles you go, you are a mile off course. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you set sail from Los Angeles to Hawaii and you're 1 degree off, you will miss the islands.
Oh my goodness.
And I think that that's what happens with a lot of couples is they get the one, maybe some people are 2 or 3 degrees off and they don't really feel like, well, we're not losing our minds here.
It hasn't
been
an affair.
We're not throwing out divorce words.
Yeah,
it's not that bad at all. Yeah. And then, you know, that happened on Monday. Yeah. Then it happens on Tuesday and then Wednesday. And then it becomes a pattern. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we recognize I think it absolutely is true what you just talked about is by the time we hear complaints from couples, it's kind of the same thing too. One spouse is just totally indifferent. It's like, I've been asking my spouse for years to engage with me.
Yes.
And then we have that, and usually it's a wife. Then the husband's calling me and saying, Casey, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? What can I do? And there are conversations I've had to have where it says, I don't think there's anything you can do. Yeah. Wow. She's been asking you for a long time. And you are miles off of the islands. You are so far gone.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's a great metaphor.
That is.
We're definitely stealing that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we're not. I was thinking, oh my God, is this a therapy term that I should know or something like that?
It's a nautical term.
I'm so relieved that it's a nautical term and that I wasn't supposed to know it because I really do like it. But so tell us about your book and about, because I've also seen so much of what you're doing with, you know, questions that are helping people be curious, helping people be connected. So tell us about that, because I know it's coming out or whatever you call it. What do you call it?
Relaunching? Revised and updated.
Revised. Yes. So tell us about it.
Yeah. In 2018, we came out with this tool. I'd been begging Megan. I said, listen, I need good conversation starters. Like I think back when we were first married, even in the midst of all the fights, I was like, I still wanted to connect with Megan. I still wanted to have something to talk about because my own fear of abandonment, even though I was mad at her, it's like, can we just talk about something outside of our fights that makes me feel close to you? Mm-hmm. And so we published that book. To date, we've sold over 100,000 copies, and we've just gotten amazing reviews and stories of testimonials of couples that were separated and used this book to bring them back together, or couples that had been married for years and kind of bored with each other and wanted a spark of life. We've talked to couples that are dating, that use our book to kind of evaluate, am I with the right person? Mm-hmm. And we even have talked to newlyweds that kind of use that book as well to kind of go, let's prepare for the future. So I think going back to those two pillar points that Megan, you had just mentioned is curiosity. Mm-hmm. Is if you've been married for a number of years, I think sometimes we're operating off of information that we got when we were dating. Now, we've been married for 21 years.
Good job.
Okay.
I was going to tell you,
I should
know
this.
Yeah.
Should have a countdown.
That's awesome.
Count up to app on my calendar so I know exactly how long.
That's awesome.
You start losing track after you've been married a long time.
Like, but yeah. If I wasn't to get curious with Megan anymore, I mean, 20 years, we've changed a lot. Sure, a lot of our viewpoints have changed and matured. So this is kind of a tool. This book is a tool that keeps conversations going and allows couples to rediscover each other. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, with boredom is you're kind of operating off of old and tired information. And the way to keep a relationship fresh is like through new discoveries.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. There's lots of research on what happens when people do new things together. And the same hormones, the same chemicals are actually going in your brain that you had when you first dated.
Oh, I love
that. So that's why we always encourage go do something new that you haven't done. Go kayaking or go, you know, do a cooking class or learn something new. Take some risks because it bonds you. There's the research behind that.
It absolutely does. So yeah, so this year Penguin Random House reached out and said, we'd like to buy your book. And so now it's going to be available in Amazon, Target, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, you name it.
Awesome.
Starting, December 3rd, 2024. But I would say that it's a great tool. Again, it's a tool. You open up a question of the day. You don't like the question, go to another question. There's no rules in that sense, but I think it's really easy to grasp this concept, especially for husbands who are like, I don't necessarily just want to sit in a therapist's office and talk about my feelings or my biggest fears. And I think that this is a great way to add even more fun to your kayak adventure or your date night.
Or I love it.
You're in the car on a road trip or at, you know, over dinner. And again, I do believe that these questions will spark more connection, more emotional intimacy. I think that they'll also provide a lot of healing for anyone listening that's hurting. Mm-hmm. And something that I would say for Casey and I, what we love about it is that we continue, like he said, to learn new things about each other.
That's great. That's great.
That's part of growing as a couple.
Yep.
And we really have had it's been an awesome time talking to you and learning about what you do. Aside from the book coming out that we know folks can now, will be able to find in a week or so on Amazon and elsewhere, what's the best way for people to reach out to you, maybe to work with you, find out about your classes, the retreat that you have that we didn't talk too much about. But so mention that as well, and also how folks can get hold of you.
Yeah, you can head to marriage365.com. It's our website. Everything's there. And yes, once a year we host a big marriage retreat. It's more like a second honeymoon, kind of a vacation getaway is what I like to say.
Nice.
And our next one is actually in Southern California in October of 2025, if anyone wants to go.
Sunny Southern California.
Sunny California, all year long.
I'm going to ignore you said that as we sit here in the gray and 45 degrees on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for being on. And folks out there, follow them on Instagram at Marriage 365. Look for this book because it's filled with some amazing questions, sort of kick-starting ways to start conversations and so forth. Look at their website. There's a lot to be learned for all of us, no matter how good your relationship you think it might be. As always, we are The Bullets, TheBullitts, www.TheBullitts. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, X, our YouTube channel,
Pinterest.
LinkedIn, and Pinterest.
And I always add that in.
I never looked at it. I never looked at that. So hope you've enjoyed this one. Please listen in, subscribe, follow us, and join us next time. We are The Bullets, and this is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
Julie Bullitt is a professionally licensed clinical social worker and family therapist. David Bullitt is a divorce and family lawyer. Julie is not your therapist, and David is not your lawyer. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only.